it's a pleasure to bring this next gentleman on. And I've asked Twitter, I said, do you want to ask this man any questions? It is Ryan Vogel's song. And the first one was, Ryan, do you know how much the fans miss you? And I'll start off with that. Hello, how are you? And do you know how much the fans miss you?
Hey, buddy, how's it going, man?
It's going great. And as I said on Twitter, I said, any questions for Ryan? And the first one was, please ask him, does he know how much the fans miss him here in San Francisco?
Yeah, I have a pretty good idea. You know, it was awesome being able to play there in front of those fans every night in my 5 years. And I think the best way I can describe that is I miss them just as much as they miss me. So, yes, I thoroughly understand where they're coming from.
Beautiful. Very good. Ryan Vogelsong joins us. And I'm glad to have you on today. I really am. A couple of things. One, the Giants are in Cincinnati. And, of course, anytime we think about Cincinnati, we think about the division series in 2012 and the game you pitched against Homer Bailey. And it came after Bronson Arroyo had that Sunday game of 9-0. And you had to go out there going against Homer Bailey, who only gave up one hit. You went five innings. But bring us back to that moment in Cincinnati, because it is a highlight for every Giant fan.
Well, you know, obviously we were in a lot of, you know, pretty crucial games that whole postseason, and I feel like that one was the most mentally challenging game that I had, and you know, for a number of reasons. One, obviously we're on the brink of elimination. Two, the ballpark is very, very tough to pitch in. It plays very small, and everybody that watches a lot of baseball knows that. And you know, their lineup at that point in time was very tough. And you know, you're in a game like that, you know, you lose and you go home, and one mental mistake, one error, you know, could lead to a three-run homer and, you know, not good after that. So from a mental standpoint, that was definitely the most challenging game I had that postseason.
Well, and you did great. Five innings, a one-run ball, and that one run was in the first inning. And, of course, Giants end up winning it 2-1. And then, of course, things happen from there. But a lot of people complain. Now you're out of the game a little bit. Of course, you're with the Twins in spring here, and I know you're not pitching right now. But a lot of people complain about the mound in Cincinnati. And even Bochy last night in his postgame press conference said, look, I don't want to say anything, but our guys have trouble pitching on this mound. Is there anything to that?
You know, I noticed it more in previous years than I did last year. Obviously I pitched there a few times last year, being with the Pirates in the same division in the Central. But years back, it definitely was flat. And you know, you get accustomed to your mound, and our mound in San Francisco is, you know, doesn't feel high to me, but when you go to a place like that, that is, I felt like was flat, it definitely has its challenges. You know, I feel like there's a few mounds around the league that play like that. Philadelphia plays pretty flat. But I remember Cincinnati. That was one thing that I always had to remind myself going there, that the mound played flat and I was going to have to get my foot down earlier so I could go over my front side and then drive the ball into the bottom of the strike zone.
Yeah, apparently. Well, Matt Cain had his troubles last night, and you've been there before on the nights when you just don't have it. But what was interesting last night, it came on the heels of an hour 50-minute rain delay. And I listened to Javi last night and Sean Estes on their NBC Sports Bay Area pregame and talked about young pitchers versus old pitchers dealing with a rain delay. You tell me, rain delays bother a pitcher?
They can, for sure. I was very fortunate where I actually, from what I can remember, every time I was in a rain delay, I actually had a really good game. I don't know if it was just the extra time to kind of let my nerves calm down before I walked out there. But, you know, I can remember, you know, having a few game long rain delays in Atlanta the last couple of years, and I had really good games, and a few in Pittsburgh, and threw the ball extremely well. I don't know what it is with me, but I just, you know, I kind of never, you know me talking to me in the past, I never come out of game mode. Once I get into it in the afternoon and walking around the clubhouse for another, you know, 45 minutes, 50 minutes in game mode to me was nothing big. You know, if I did anything different, I might've had, you know, an extra cup of coffee or something, but I tried to stay away from everyone else. 'Cause you know, there's really nothing to do. Everyone kind of sits in the clubhouse there's usually another game on, or guys grab a, you know, another little something to eat. And anytime I was in that, in those rain delays, I kind of found a spot away from everyone else where I could stay in my sauce without being distracted by guys telling jokes or, you know, whatever they were doing. I know one night in Atlanta, they were tasting all the hot sauce in the cafeteria. And, I walked in there to get a cup of coffee and they were all busting up laughing. And, you know, I knew I had to, you know, get out of that room before I got caught up in the mix. So, I never really had a problem with it, but you know, I can definitely see where it can be an issue.
Yeah, it's funny when you said that because I remember you so well, and of course Ryan Vogelsong is with us today and a favorite of the fans out here, really, truly a favorite. But yeah, you got into that game face, boy. If you pitched on Saturday, Friday, that was it. Then you know, Friday we didn't talk to you.
Yeah, you know, the whole not talking to the media the day before was not. You know, I was kind of getting into game mode then, but I always had a thing with the media where there was always a little anxiety to it. It wasn't that I didn't like talking to the media or had anxiety about talking to the media. It was always the afterthoughts. You know, did I say the right thing? Did I say the wrong thing? Did I say something I shouldn't have said? Did I kind of tip my hand at what I was going to do with my game plan tomorrow? And the more and more it happened to me, I would be laying in bed at night, the night before start, thinking about what I said to the media. And so I decided, hey, you know, I can't do this anymore. I asked the PR people in San Francisco, would it be okay if I, you know, do my, you know, pregame a couple days out if I have to, or just not do it at all? Because it really started to interrupt my thought process for my game the next day. And that was really, really where that stemmed from. But you're right. I did. You know, I started gearing up a couple days out, and then obviously game day. It was when 2:30 hit. It was game on for me.
Very good. Hey, it was great. And look, I totally respect it. And you're doing your job, and you have to do it the way you want to do it best. A lot going on in baseball this week, and I know you're down in the Atlanta area now. Is that correct? I think you're down there,
yes, sir,
with Javi. Javi said he was going to see you, I think, last week or two. That you were going to run into him. But a lot going on in baseball, and I really wanted to get your thoughts on what's going on, policing the game, what went on with Boston and Baltimore, Machado and his rants after the game, playing in Boston, what went on with Andrew Jones. And I know you keep up with the game. Let's start with, and you've been hit a couple of times as, you know, obviously as a batter. Chris Sale throwing behind Machado. Can you suspend them or not? Just some of your general thoughts on what you've seen in baseball recently.
Well, you know, I did see a few highlights on that. I didn't see a ton, so I'm not going to try and speculate too much. You know, for one, I saw the slide. Whether there was intent there or not, who knows? Only the guy that slid knows. So after that, it's basically you have to assume what you're going to assume. And if they thought that there was intent to hurt him or to take him out or go get him, then, you know, you have to protect your players and, you know, you got to take your shot at him the next day. And I think they tried to hit him a couple times and they missed him and then he hit a home run. Well, to me, it's over after that. You took your shots at him. You didn't get him. You know, you don't get to keep throwing at the guy because you didn't hit him the first time you tried.
Okay.
And for me, when I came up in the game, if you were a young guy and you were told to throw at somebody and you missed them, you were going to AAA after the game.
Okay.
There was no, hey, well, you tried to hit him. It was, no, you were told to hit him and you missed, so you can go to AAA and work on that too.
Mm.
But, you know, they took their shots at him. Only Chris Sale knows if he was trying to hit him again or not. And, I mean, there definitely looked like there was intent there, but you know, once something like that happens, you take your shot, and if you get him, you get him, you move on, and if you miss him and you don't get him, you have to move on as well.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And with Machado, they kept going after him. In fact, Gausman got thrown out of the game, hitting him with a 77-mile-an-hour curveball, and the Holbrook threw him out of the game. Have you been tossed out of a game for throwing at anybody?
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir.
All right. All right. Well,
actually, I just lied to you. I apologize. I got in Japan. If you hit a guy in the head in Japan, it was an automatic ejection. Okay. And I hit a guy in the head with a curveball one night in Japan, and I was automatically ejected, even though it was a curveball, obviously not trying to hit him. And it was raining a little bit that night, and it truly did pop out of my hand and never spun and dunked him on his head. I think it was probably about 60-some miles an hour, but they had a rule there in Japan that if you hit someone in the head, it's automatic ejection. So, yes, I did get ejected for hitting a guy.
All right.
But never in the States.
Okay. Ryan Vogelsong with us. It was interesting listening to Pedro Martinez last night on the MLB Network talking about it. Now, he would come up and in. I mean, there's no doubt about it. This is a guy who's a Hall of Famer, had impeccable control. And when you watched him pitch, he would come up and in all the time. So he said when he first got into the big leagues, he went on a friendship tour to Japan, I guess, with the Dodgers, and he hit a guy. And I guess in Japan, when you hit someone, you're supposed to come and take your hat off and apologize. And Pedro says he walked up to the plate and just said, "Give me another ball," and never apologized, and almost created an international incident. Is that the way you got to play in Japan?
Yeah, I mean, that is the rule. You're supposed to tip your hat. But when I was there, it was more of that was a Japanese thing. If you're a foreigner and you hit somebody, it wasn't really, you know, they understood that it wasn't part of your culture or your style or game to tip your hat. Now, some guys did. I wasn't on board with that. If I hit a guy and it was on purpose or not, I definitely wasn't going to apologize for it. So, but yeah, that is the rule there. It's supposed to be.
Ryan, you probably have seen Javi on TV every once in a while. Do you watch any of the Giant games, by the way? Do you get to see them?
I do. I watch just about every night.
Okay.
I start the games anyway. Sometimes I make it all the way. Sometimes I don't. But I tune in quite often. I would say it's just about every night. We miss a few here and there. But I did watch the whole game last night, and, you know, tuned in early to see Javi on TV, so when I see him when he gets back on Monday, I can give him a little critique and try and help him get a little bit better. He's doing a great job, though. There isn't much to say. But I like tuning in, and gives he and I something to talk about when we're on the ninth green, making birdie putts. So,
hey, the tough life of the former ball player. I'm glad you're there with Nicole and the family, and everything is good with you. So give me your take. I mean, you know, I talked a little bit today about the offense and maybe needing that one guy to pick the offense up. And then again, I look at the inconsistency of the starting staff that had been a strength for the Giants and not having Bumgarner. What do you see when you watch the Giants play now? They are 11-19.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think, you know, there's been a little inconsistency in the staff, and, you know, the guys are still, you know, having their good games. And when they're having their good games, they're not scoring a ton of runs. And so kind of wasting really good starts. And then, you know, obviously a game like last night, you get behind early, and it's when the offense is scuffling a little bit, it's hard to make up those runs. But, you know, they've played good. They've played good games. They've had a couple stretches where I thought they played extremely well. And, you know, I know it's not looking good right now, but it's extremely early. It's extremely early. And I know it's one of the things you say all the time. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's far from over, and they definitely have the people in place and the talent there to come back and win and get where they want to be. You know, I think the staff has the absolute talent to get on a tear and start dominating some teams and take some pressure off that offense a little bit. And, you know, you just got to get things clicking at the same night. When you pitch good, you got to hit. When you don't pitch good, you got to hit. When you don't hit, you got to pitch better. So, they're fine. They just got to keep playing their game, doing their thing. Don't panic. That's the biggest thing that we used to stress all the time when I was there, when things weren't going well, was we weren't going to panic. We were going to let everyone else panic for us. We were just going to go play our baseball and play our butts off every night and see if we couldn't win, and if we didn't, get after him again the next day and let everybody else complain and panic about what's going on.
Yeah, it is.
So,
they just
need to keep doing their thing.
Yeah, it's one day at a time. I always say that. You got to win today's game, and then tomorrow takes care of itself. What do you think about Ty Block? Now, you've come out of the bullpen before, and then you've started, and this kid has had two great starts. They talk about Kirk Reeder. What I like about Block, he takes a ball and he throws it. I'm telling you, they don't need the 20-second or 30-second clock for this guy. He gets the ball and throws it. I like that.
You know, I haven't seen him pitch a ton live. Those kind of seem like the games that I miss. I know his last game, I think, was an afternoon game. I missed that one. But I know he threw the ball extremely well. You know, he's a strike thrower. He's not going to hurt himself. And I think that's huge. He gets the ball over the plate, makes the guys put the ball in play, you know, with that infield. And I know the outfield's a little banged up right now, but when it's healthy, you know, you got guys all over the place that are going to go and get the ball. So I think that's his biggest strength, is he throws the ball over the plate and lets guys work for him. And he works fast. So like you said, so it helps the defense stay on their toes, and they make plays for him.
You went to spring training with Minnesota. At the end, you had some choices, and you chose not to continue pitching. How come?
You know, it was one of those things where when you're 39 years old and you go to spring training, there's not going to be much of a competition. And there was a competition that I kind of knew was going to be there, but not really knew was going to be there. And so when you're 39 and you're competing against guys that are throwing 95, 96 miles an hour in spring training and are getting away with mistakes because they throw hard. And at 39, I need the entire spring training to get ready for a season. And they just weren't really ready to give me another 2 weeks to get where I felt like I needed to be. I felt like I was on the path to getting to where I needed to be. And, you know, it's funny. That was probably as good as I'd thrown a ball in spring training in about 4 years. I had a couple games where I got cashed in after I came out of the game. So the ERA and stuff didn't look great, but you know, I was extremely happy with the way I was throwing the ball, but you know, 39, the velocity was, you know, 87 to 90. And I felt like if I had 2 more weeks, it probably would have been 91, 92, where I'm usually at. They just weren't ready to wait another 2 weeks and ask me if I would go to AAA. And at that point in time, I'm just, at this stage of my career, AAA really does nothing for me. I don't think I'm going to go to AAA and get any better. I think I'm as good as I'm going to get. And they were either going to take what they knew I could do or not. And they decided not. They asked me what I wanted to do, if I wanted to go to AAA. And I said, no, thank you. I'd rather just have my release. And as I was driving home from Fort Myers, I kind of just decided that, you know, I would take some phone calls and see what happened, but pretty much had decided that was going to be done.
Wow.
And, you know, at the same time, I just felt like it was, at my point in his career, it's just not fair to Nicolin Ryder anymore to keep dragging him around all over the country to, you know, AAA cities. And, you know, you're waiting for someone not to pitch well so you can get called up, and you get called up. And, you know, if you don't throw the ball exactly the way they want to right away, you might be going back to AAA. And I just felt like it wasn't fair to her and him anymore to keep dragging our family to places all over the country after we had been all over the world together. So it was time, and I'm pretty okay with it. That's not saying that I don't miss baseball on a daily basis and wish I was still playing, but circumstances are what they are.
Well, you had a great career coming back to the Giants, and a lot of fun having you here. And, you know, as I said when we opened it, what the fans think about you, and you'll always be welcome. First of all, I love having you on. You'll always be welcome in San Francisco, and you know that. But people want to know, now, enchiladas, have you eaten any more enchiladas, or have you seen enough of them?
That's a very good question. I did have some enchiladas not too long ago, and it was after I had come home. No, I love them. I don't think I'm ever going to have enough of them. But I just don't eat them as consistently as I used to, but I have had them a couple times since I've retired, or haven't announced my retirement yet, but since I decided I wasn't going to play. So yeah, we'll keep hammering them down as long as I keep finding good ones.
All right. Now, are you staying in shape? Are you keeping the arm in shape at all? Are you throwing to Nicole?
I'm not. I've played catch with my son a few times since we've been home. That's the only throwing I've done. So if you can consider, you know, 40 miles an hour to a 7-year-old keeping in shape, then. But no, I'm a pretty big gym rat. Always have been. I've been working out every day in my gym here in the house. And I am on the straight beach program right now. So no more rotator cuff exercises and all that little muscle stuff. We're going after all the big muscles now. I'm going to see if I can't get in to some fighting shape here and look like a WWE guy here soon.
Very good. You have any plans to come out this way?
Yeah, we actually are coming out there. And right now we're talking about heading out there maybe like the first week of August.
Oh, good.
Oakland series, maybe the Cubs, I think, after that. So we are planning a trip, and we will definitely look you up when we get there.
Oh, yeah, love to have you on. Now, today is the birthday of Willie Mays, and I know you got to know Willie seeing him in spring training and around the ballpark almost every day in the home series. Thoughts about Willie on his birthday?
Man, what a tremendous guy. What an unbelievable opportunity for a baseball player, not just a baseball player, but a human being to have a chance to meet him and talk to him. And just a wonderful man, always made time for you, you know, to talk about anything really. But the man's knowledge of the game is insurmountable, and what a great thing to have if you're a Giants player, to have probably the greatest baseball player of all time, you know, walking around your clubhouse on pretty much a daily basis and with open arms to talk to you about whatever you want to talk to pretty much every day. And I feel very, very fortunate that I had the opportunity to meet him and talk to him, and, you know, talk baseball with him. And it's a you know how special it is, but then when you're around other people that grew up watching him, and you tell them that you met him and shook his hand and they almost hit the floor,
that's true.
Then you really understand how amazing he really was.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. It's true. And I've done the shows, you know, for 20 years and talked to so many former ball players from his era, and they say he was the best ever. And I believe it from people who played the game. So I'm glad that you have a chance to wish him a happy birthday. All right, last question on Twitter. Would you come out of retirement if the Giants called?
You know, that's a very good question. I'd have to – Nicole's standing here. I can ask her what she thinks. Giants called and asked me to come out of retirement, what would I do? She said I would go.
Absolutely. All right.
So, yes. I was just trying to include her a little bit here because we make decisions together, but yeah. I didn't have to ask, and the answer is absolutely.
All right. Very good, Ryan. Thanks for taking the time, Nicole. Thank you for participating in this as well. And I love having you on. If it'd be okay, we'd love to call you as the season progresses and, you know, talk about how the Giants are looking and how baseball's looking. So I'd love to hear your opinion. So pleasure having you on, Ryan.
Thanks. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. That's Ryan Vogelsong. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.